Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Holtcast. Cole Petum here, as always, and as always, it's middle of the week, or roughly middle of the week by the time you're hearing this. It'll actually be Christmas Eve, so hope everyone has a very festive holiday season, considering the craziness going on in the world, and hopefully you guys stay safe and healthy. That's the main and important thing really right now. But of course, this is an Oppo preview. So with that being said, we play Crystal Palace on Boxing Day, 3 p.m. kickoff at Villa Park. And with the opposition aspect of that, we have a Palace fan. It's Jay from the Eagles Beak. So Jay, how you doing?
Hey, Cole. Thanks for having me back on. I'm good, thank you. How about yourself?
Oh, not too bad. Just trying to keep safe, trying to finish up the last little bits of stocking stuffers for those I do have to get presents for today. And I just reminded myself of that. So I have to go back out in this crazy world and get that done.
Crazy times indeed.
Yeah. Like we were talking about before, it's unprecedented, but nonetheless, hopefully we're getting to the end of it. Hopefully, fingers crossed. But nonetheless,
yeah, fingers crossed.
Let's get on to the football portion of it, because I'm sure that'll make everyone more happy. And if people are listening to this on Christmas Eve, then kudos to you. I know a lot of people might have a little bit more spare time, so hopefully we can fill about 15, 20 minutes of that and get you some of your footy fix, I guess you could say. So Jay, we'll kick it off with Crystal Palace. We'll get into the aspect right now, because I think that's what a lot of fans will want to hear about right now. So what are your thoughts on your season so far as a Palace fan?
Well, after last weekend, I've gone off football completely. So thanks for the invite. No, I use this as therapy. Yeah, the season's been, I mean, it's been an odd season, to be fair, across the board. But for Palace, it's been bizarre, because if we'd have got a win against Tottenham, I think it was that game, that would have been our best start to, no, actually against West Ham midweek following the Tottenham draw, that would have been our best start to a season in top flight for 29 years. When you consider the fact that we'd lost at home to Newcastle and away to Burnley, which were two dreadful performances and results really, and I'm not saying that, you know, we should be beating everybody on paper, but those are the games you want us to win, and it's been disappointing in parts, but it's at its highs as well. You know, beating United away for the second season in succession, you know, picked up some decent points, and you know, we've started the season well. I think we're on 18 points at the moment, 8 points away from the bottom three. But as is always the case, we as a club, we tend to look down rather than up a lot of the time, which, you know, you'd hope we'd build on a good start that we've had, and then we hit the roadblock in Liverpool, who clearly wanted to prove a point on Saturday, and they duly did. That's stinging still at the moment. Really, really disappointing. But I don't know if you saw the game, but it's one of those where everything Liverpool hit went in. It's such a freak result. It's crazy, because even at 2-0 down, we were still playing well. 4-0 down after half time, and unforgivably, the players kind of gave up a little bit, but the other three goals, you know, they were decent goals. You probably questioned some of the positioning, but Salah's two goals, I mean, the keeper, it's bizarre that the keeper didn't have a chance with any of them. So yeah, that's really stinging at the moment. A really bad home result against, yeah, you have to face facts. They are the reigning champions. They've made a statement after an indifferent start to the season. And we're hoping for a reaction against you guys. Whether that will come on Boxing Day is a different matter. But a little bit disillusioned after the result last weekend. But, you know, there's worse things going on in the world at the moment. So you can't really, moan about it too long.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think, funnily enough, Liverpool all like know all about getting hit past with seven. So I'm going to chump about that for the remainder of my life.
Yeah,
of course, it's all deflections and all, you know, yeah, whatever. Apparently, that victory doesn't count because they're missing Van Dijk and, you know, whatever. Anyways, people can sod off, in my opinion. But anyways.
Yeah, exactly. It counts big time.
Exactly. It's 3 points that they didn't get and we did. So I will take that. But I guess with that aspect, I want to kind of get on to Roy Hodgson, because I follow a few Palace fans on Twitter, like yourself, and I don't know if there's a kind of a consensus now or there's different ends of the spectrum, but what are your thoughts on Roy Hodgson's time at Palace and his future there? Because I think some people are maybe, I don't know if they're a little fed up or they're kind of a little confused. And I mean, he is getting on in age. You'd have to probably admit he's obviously probably in the last 2 to 3 years, you'd imagine, of his career. So what are your thoughts on him and what do you expect from him going forward?
I think you got the sense of the room pretty straight there, actually, because there is a real mix in terms of Roy Hodgson and his management style and how he does things. It's very peculiar because we went on a run of games. We lost to Newcastle, as I mentioned, lost to Burnley, and then we went on a 3-game unbeaten streak. You know, we're getting a point at home to Spurs. And then the 2 games before that, we won one and drew another one. So, you know, we were coming into the Liverpool game off the back of, you know, three decent results and, you know, an unbeaten run. And obviously we were stopped in our tracks quite dramatically on Saturday morning or the early game on Saturday even. But yeah, Roy Hodgson is one of those where he's never going to... It's a difficult one. He builds from the back, so... You're going to be hard to beat, but we're coming off the back of conceding 7 goals. So that sounds just ridiculous. But genuinely, we are hard to break down, and that's how he builds his sides. We have had, we do have some excitement in our team this season, which we saw in the, you know, the 5-1 defeat of West Brom. And then we took that result into the Tottenham game and the West Ham game after that and getting 2 draws. And started scoring goals and playing some really entertaining stuff. You know, the front line playing really well. Benteke back in the side. No coincidence that we went on an unbeaten run with him in the side, starting for the first time in a while, scoring among the goals, amazingly. Roy Hodgson. I mean, let's face it, he came into Palace at a time when we were in a bit of turmoil. We had Frank de Boer at the club, lasted 4 games, lost those 4 games. And then Roy came in and we lost our first 7 games of the season. But he stabilised us and he's given us stability at the club in the Premier League for a number of seasons. And, you know, it's our record stint in the top flight at the moment. Every year we stay in there longer, then it's another record broken from a club perspective. And I have to say, we've got one of the most exciting squads we've had for a long time. We've got good strength and depth. We've got some good youth coming through. We've got some good backup. We've got options as well. So this season is one that seemed to be, actually, Roy, let's try and push on and finish top 10 and see where we go from that kind of position. But yeah, Roy is, you know, he's much maligned for his substitutions, the timings of his substitutions, some of his tactics. You know, he's very much a manager where, you know, he will lay it out on the training pitch during the week and he won't deviate from that, you know, in a game at a weekend. You know, he's not a huge reactionary manager. He will give those players an opportunity that started a game that he's worked with all week for that particular game. And he's quite stubborn in that respect. And yeah, look, you know, it works, you know, it does work. But when it doesn't work, that's where he gets the criticism. You know, he's an older guy, which probably gets a fair bit of criticism for, but he's such an experienced guy. And I've got a lot of time for the guy coming in, getting the stability at a club. You know, he's going to see us all right in the Premier League. He's going to see us survive every season in, season out. I think the biggest problem we have is when he does decide to move on, whether he moves upstairs or just retires and goes, you know, goes his own separate way from the club, who do we bring in instead? You know, that is the biggest problem, because we've had this period of stability. And it's always a case better the devil you know, isn't it? Particularly in the Premier League. You know, we've seen that with teams coming up with a manager that's got them promoted and, you know, they never really get a fair crack at it. So fair play to Villa, particularly for sticking with their manager coming up like that. Managers will always get stick, won't they? This is the thing, you know, if results don't go their way, fans' way. You know, fans want to win every game of the season, and that's just not practical. But, you know, other fans want some entertainment on the pitch, and that's never always going to happen either. So, you know, you've got to hit a happy medium, and, you know, managers there to be shot at. And I think Roy's done us good. You know, he fits Palace and what we need, what we needed at the time. I think there's going to come a time where we actually think we need to, you know, we need to make a change. And I don't mean, you know, because things aren't working. Like I say, we're pretty stable with Roy in charge. But, you know, there's a lot of fans out there that just want to see some excitement, you know, seeing the likes of Wolves coming up and doing what they've been doing since they've been promoted, pushing top 10, other teams, you know, kind of going on the European qualification, that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying that's what we want, but, you know, it would be nice to have one season, you know, competing in Europe, even if it's in the Europa League. You know, that's, you want your team to succeed and kind of push on as they can. But it's, you know, it's really hard in the Premier League, isn't it? It's not easy. No game's easy. And you've got to look at the teams that have kind of suffered after going down, you know, Sunderland, Stoke, you know, teams like that, Bolton, and, you know, further back than that. So, you know, I think we've just got to be grateful where we are and enjoy what we've got at the moment, because, you know, there's going to be some time that Palace are probably go down. So, you know, let's enjoy it while we can.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the one thing, and I mean, this isn't the greatest comparison because, I mean, it involves Mark Hughes, but I always look at kind of the Stoke example with Tony Pulis in the Premier League for so long. They're very stable. You know what you're going to get. It's not that entertaining. You'll get your surprise results every season, but you're stable. Mm. And that's kind of what I see with the Palace perspective. And then you bring in Mark Hughes, which everyone kind of knows what to expect with Mark Hughes, but a little bit more attacking flair in the nicest way I could say. He means well. His contact books seems to be a little bit more expansive. So you bring in the likes of Shaqiri or Arnautović, and okay, you get some better results, a little bit more attacking football, but in the end, it ultimately led to their demise. The stability after that just wasn't there. So I guess kind of what I'm saying is you have to be careful what you wish for. And you did say it best. I mean, appreciate what it is now and kind of hope for the best in the future. And that's football in general. But let's move on to, I guess, a current and future star in the Premier League. And I think that's exactly what he is. And that is your new signing this season, Eze from QPR. Like, I mean, he's one I'm very sad that Villa weren't kind of in for a little bit more, and he seems to be one of those players that in a few years is going to make the next step, in my opinion, and show his true qualities, like he already is. But I mean, I think there's a next few levels for this man, and I'm excited to see what happens with him. So what were your thoughts on that signing in particular? And I guess in some way, what does he mean to Wilfried Zaha? Because in my opinion, when I look at it, and obviously they're different players, I compare the relationship and what they do for each other on the pitch, i.e. Zaha and Eze, to what we've seen from Ross Barkley and Jack Grealish. And that being, you have a star man, Zaha and Grealish, and then those players come in and they can take some of that pressure off and they come more of a focal point and it just balances the team out more. So I guess from those aspects, what are your thoughts on that? And I guess the player that is Eze.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a massive signing for us, a really big signing. I mean, we've been touting after him for some time. We've been rumoured to be watching him for some time. Obviously, he had a really good season for QPR last season. But the minute we signed him and got him through the door, for the price we got for him, I think, you know, after talking to QPR fans, it really gave us the excitement before the Premier League started again this campaign, because QPR fans were brilliant. They wished him well. They said it's his time to step up to the Premier League. QPR aren't getting there anytime soon, and they look forward to seeing him, you know, playing against the big players and the big sides, which, you know, you got to give him some respect for that, because, you know, as a star player at a club, you know, as a fan, I know you hate to see your best player go. However, you know, he's in that part of his life where he probably needed a move to the Premier League if QPR weren't going to give him that. And he's grabbed it at both hands at Palace. He's such an elegant player with the ball. The way he moves at the ball, he protects the ball so well. And, you know, the way he, you know, just picks up the ball and goes. And he doesn't just run head down. You know, he moves at the ball, watching where everyone else is and where the rest of our players are. And he's so good to watch. It's just gutting that, you know, we're only watching him on TV at the moment and not being in the grounds to see them, which is a real shame. In terms of his relationship with Wilf, I think it gives Wilf takes a bit of pressure off Wilf, because we all know the, you know, the statistic that, you know, without Wilf, Palace don't generally win games, you know, without Wilf in the side. But having seen, particularly with Benteke playing, I think Benteke playing those three games before we got the ridiculous sending off of West Ham, yeah, Benteke really did bring Wilf and Eze into the game. You know, they played their best games for a long time. And Wilf's been on fire this season. It's his best season so far for us, best start to a season. And I think that probably, you know, says a lot about the impact of Eze and the pressure that's been taken off Wilf in that respect. And I think they complement each other really, really well. They're both very skillful players. They're both attacking players. And they're both players that can take on any defence, which, you know, we'll scare defences, which is, for us, it's brilliant because, you know, often you have a team like Palace or Villa that have one really star player like Jack Grealish, you guys, or Wilf has been for such a long time and built a team that, you know, is actually quite solid. But, you know, bringing Eze in, you know, kind of an unpredictable, skillful player like he is and can create something from nothing just like Wilf can, it's just a breath of fresh air. You know, and it probably was a downside to us against Liverpool the weekend, you know, playing quite an attacking lineup. And, you know, one of the reasons we got belted 7-0 is that actually we didn't play a defensive game against Liverpool. We went out and had a go at them because we have the ammunition to do that. But I mentioned Benteke. I mean, Benteke, those three games, those three plus Jeffrey Schlupp linked up so well together. They were, you know, they're just, you know, just the way they found each other and were working off each other really well. And it was no coincidence that, you know, they played so well in those three games that we went on a mini unbeaten run. Eze is just going to get better and better. He really is. And I can't wait to get back to actually, you know, to watch them play on the pitch rather than just on TV, because he's, you know, he's such an elegant player. The way, like I say, the way he protects the ball, and yeah, and he comes with, you know, a lot of experience in the Championship. He's had his knockbacks. I think he was released by Millwall, ended up at QPR, and, you know, over a few seasons, he's made his way in the Championship and created a name for himself. And he's already done that in the Premier League. I think he's raised a lot of eyebrows already playing for Palace. You know, he got a goal against Leeds, a fantastic free kick, and he's going to go from strength to strength, and it's a real bonus for us.
Oh, 100%. And I think that's one thing too. And I think we can mutually agree from both our club aspects, is it brings in other players of different quality. Mm. You look at it and you go, oh, I'd love to play with Zaha and Eze, or I'd love to play with, I mean, it all depends if Barkley signs permanently, but I would love to play with Ross Barkley and Jack Grealish. Like, yeah. So it's only beneficial for us. But Jay, let's get right into the actual game portion, because I'm sure people are crying out for us to actually talk about that now. I love our chats nonetheless. It's always insightful, but yeah, let's get on to that. So
yeah,
what are your thoughts on the match? I mean, it's 9th versus 13th. We have 22 points. You guys have, I believe, 18, and yep, it's kind of crazy. I've never seen a mid table this packed in a long time. It's just an absolute merry-go-round from probably like 13th to first, to be honest. So what are your thoughts on the match so far? And I guess, is there, from, I guess, your standpoint, is there any concerns going into this match?
I think the biggest thing for us is Benteke is available again after the suspension. And obviously, as we saw him play so well in those three games before the Liverpool game, whether he made a 7-goal swing difference in the Liverpool game, I don't know. But we'd have certainly played a fair bit better, and he would have given the Liverpool defence something to think about. And I think he will come back with a point to prove after the sending off, because it was an unjust double booking, unfortunately, in that game. And he served his one game ban in his back. So I think that's a massive plus for us. You know, he'd scored 3 goals. Back in the goals, much maligned striker. I mean, you know, Benteke from his time at Villa. He's been at Palace. He's got stick for not scoring goals, but he's such a likable character. You know, he works hard whenever he comes on. You know, he works hard, and you know, we get the impression he works hard in training. Quite often, you know, he's smiling and enjoying his football, and he's come from quite a dark place in terms of, you know, struggling with injury and not being able to get back in the side, and, you know, getting into the Belgian side. And let's face it, they're number one team in the world, and he's, you know, he's playing for them. So, yeah, it's good to see him back, and he'll make a huge difference to us in the game against you guys. And obviously, hopefully, he can link up well with Eze and Zaha like he did in the games before. If let's face it, if he hadn't been sent off against West Ham, we'd have probably gone and won because he was playing so well in that game and leading the line so well. I think if we'd have got a second goal in that without him being sent off, then it would have been a different story. So, yeah, welcoming back with open arms. And obviously, I think the players will be stinging from that result against Liverpool and will certainly be chomping at a bit to, you know, to get back on the pitch and put that right. So there'd be an element of that as well. Zaha and, like I say, Eze and Schlupp linking up with Benteke. I don't know whether Roy will go for much in the way of changes. You know, we do have options. I wonder if he will give that team that started against Liverpool an opportunity to put things right, which is probably something I'm expecting because these players, you know, we know they're professionals, we know they're paid money, but actually losing 7-0, you know, they will hate that. There's no doubt about it. We've got a bunch of honest professionals at Palace and they've already come out and said different things to the fans over across social media. So I think this is a big game for us and a big game for the players, you know, to actually, you know, put something right. So we're hoping for a reaction.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one because it's a really weird season, especially from a Villa standpoint. Weird, just narrowly avoiding relegation last season. And then where we are right now, and our away record is like ridiculous. I think we've lost one all season, but our home form has been all over the place. I mean, you look at the 7-2 over Liverpool as like one extreme, and then losing 3-0 to Leeds, which is the biggest annoying thing because it's Patrick Bamford. But anyways, it's all over the shop in regards to that. And I think that's one thing we kind of have to rectify if we want to continue to be where we are or push on a little bit further. So I guess from that standpoint, that's probably one concern for us. And I mean, we're coming off good form, win over Wolves, a draw against Burnley, which was ridiculously frustrating considering the amount of shot attempts we had. Beating West Brom, I mean, going down to 10 men, I think that's been one of the biggest weaknesses, having that advantage, to be honest, because it seems like when we have too much time on the ball, traditionally, we can't capitalize. And we saw some of that, but eventually it was put away. And then you go into this game and you're thinking, okay, well, they just got absolutely battered 7-0, and you're sitting there going, okay, how will they come out? Will Palace come out firing? Will they look to rectify that, or does that continue? So there's kind of a lot of question marks in terms of both sides. But if there's one aspect from this, from a Palace standpoint, is there one weakness in your side that you're most concerned about? And I don't mean a player, but just in the aspect of how Palace play.
Really good question. I mean, in terms of, we were struggling in centre midfield, but actually let's ignore Liverpool result. Before that, James McArthur and Luka Milivojevic had played really well. Luka had been out of the team for a while. He had had COVID after going on international duty. And then before that, he'd been sent off. So he's missed a fair proportion of the season. But actually, he came back ahead of that three-game unbeaten run, same as Benteke. And his influence on the side is not to be sniffed at. You know, a lot of people, he's very much like Roy Hodgson in that fans can get it back quite easily because he's not... Yeah, he's not the most graceful of players, but you know he's a very good centre midfielder. But we do have a lot of centre midfielders. You know, we have the likes of James McCarthy waiting to get back in, Jarrod Riederwald, who's very good technically, as are most Dutch players. So, you know, we have a number of central midfield players, and Max Meyer as well, a German who can't get back in the side. So we've got a number of options in the centre of the park, which is what I mentioned earlier. Is that, you know, we've got a squad of players who probably our best squad of players in terms of options and things like that. In terms of weakness, we struggled a fair bit at left back. You said don't name players, but Patrick Van Aanholt can go missing a fair few times. You know, he likes to get forward. He has his good days and he has his bad days. And I think against Liverpool, he was guilty of going missing a few times in the second half, which, you know, maybe contributed, maybe did, maybe didn't. But I think sometimes when you've got such an attacking fullback like that, you have to take some of that on the chin, I think, because, you know, you can either have a fullback which is, you know, who's very defensive minded and rarely gets forward and looks awkward going forward even. But when you've got a player like that who can quite easily play wide, you know, wide out in the midfield rather than a fullback, you kind of have to take that. But yeah, some of the frustrations, you know, he missed a fair bit at the start of the season, got back in the side after Tyrone Mitchell, who's one of our young players that got back in, got his debut last season when Van Aanholt got injured. And he did really well, did fantastically well, and it's a shame that he can't get back in the side, but he's had a bit of an injury, and Van Aanholt's kind of taken that on. So I hate naming players, calling players out. There's other areas of the pitch. We were struggling at right back for some time as well, but Nathaniel Klein's done a great job over at right back for us, which is good. It's a surprise signing for us, come back into the side, and it's done really well for us. So in terms of weaknesses, I think more so it's kind of the tactics that fall by the wayside sometimes. You know, I think this is a side that, you know, if Palace go ahead, then we're difficult to beat. But then if we do concede first, then, you know, it could be the other way. It's an interesting one because we're an exciting side to watch, doing well this season. Obviously got a game in hand, I think, as well at the moment as well. So, and like you mentioned, you know, the Premier League is such a ridiculous division this season. We always talk about a championship being crazy, but this season, you know, the Premier League looks to be following suit. And, you know, I do wonder whether teams are struggling at home because of, you know, lack of fan base. I mean, Villa Park is a big ground, vocal support, very much like Palace. And I think it's definitely a case of Palace at home that we miss the vocal support from the fans for sure. And I suspect Villa is probably quite similar to that.
Yeah, I mean, those are the people that push you on through the good or the bad. And I think that's it's the atmosphere that's been honestly, the worst part of all of this craziness with this pandemic. It's just you can have a massive result and you're happy at home, but you're not able to, I guess, for especially those who attend football matches and are able to, being in the country, obviously, you don't get that privilege. You don't have your match day ritual. You don't get to see your friends or family. And for some people, it's a way to relieve stress of a work week or any other way. So, I can't wait for this to all be done because it's going to be emotional for a lot of football fans just getting back in those stadiums. And the first roars that those players will hear, I think a lot of them will leave them very emotional as well. But anyways, Jay, before we wrap things up here, could I get your score prediction, please?
Score prediction. I don't know whether I'm banking on it or just hoping that the players react in this one, but I think it's going to be tight. But I'm after Liverpool result, I'm going for a Palace win. I can't say anything different. I'm going to go 2-1 Palace, but it's going to be tight. And obviously your home form has been a bit patchy. So yeah, I'm going to go for a Palace 2-1 win.
That's fair enough. I mean, these ones are this. I hate the. Well, I don't hate the congestion of the Christmas period. But knowing that we have to play 2 days later, I think it is on the 28th, if I'm wrong. Yeah. So like you never know with rotation and what to expect.
No, you don't.
Yeah, like my mind's telling me a draw, but I'm going to go for a 2-1 Villa win because I know we have Chelsea and United coming up and I'm not expecting much there. So I'll go for a 2-1 Villa win. Will it happen? I don't know. I just hope the home form gets rectified a little bit because I'm still secretly waiting. I don't know what to expect it or not, but I'm sure Villa will get smashed for a few eventually. I mean, it feels like every team's getting one or two of those results this season. So I'm just
tell me about it.
I'm just hoping we can have another positive because I'm scared of playing the likes of Chelsea United within only a few days break with especially the way that some of those teams can flick on like an absolute lightning bolt. But Jay, thanks for joining me. And before we let you go, could you, or I should say, feel free to plug any of your socials and website stuff.
Of course. So I'm editor and founder of the Eagles Beat. You can catch us on Twitter and all our social media channels, also Facebook and Instagram at the Eagles Beat. I'm also a host of the Meridian Sports Show. It's a community radio sports show, which is on every Tuesday. We're taking a bit of a break at the moment until a new year due to different protocols in place in this country at the moment. So you can catch us on socials again, the Meridian SS. Check us out.
Absolutely. And Jay's a wonderful guy. I appreciate him joining me as always. Always love our chats. But of course, if you want to find me on Twitter, it's at Talk Aston Villa. You can tweet the 7500 to Holt team at 7500 to Holt on Twitter. It's simple as that. You can email the Holtcast at gmail.com. That's the email, of course. We'll leave it there. Hopefully a positive result on Boxing Day. Like I said before, hope everyone has a very safe, healthy, and happy Christmas and New Year. We will be back after I think the Chelsea game's on the 28th, if I'm thinking correctly, but nonetheless, we'll be back soon. And don't forget, up the Villa.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.